Brought a slide that I would like to show you here at the beginning of my sermon, and I want to ask you a question. So if you could only watch three of these this next month, which three would you choose? Now, you may need to take a minute. This is a tough decision. If you could only watch three. But while you're thinking about it, in no particular order, I want to share my three with you. I've had a little more time to think about it. I would choose number three, Elf. Now, I kind of put this in the comedy Christmas genre, and there are several movies in that genre. And so this is tough because you're kind of deciding between Christmas Story, Home Alone, Elf, but if I want to have a good laugh and watch a Christmas movie, I'm going to go with number three, Elf. And then the second one on my list is number 10, It's a Wonderful Life. That movie for me is not only one of my favorite Christmas movies, but it's like a top 10, maybe top 5 just movies, period. That movie for me has like all the feels. I mean, I cry like a baby every time I watch that movie. So that would be my second one. And then third for me is number 12, Charlie Brown Christmas. I just grew up with that one. Like I grew up from a young boy watching that every year. And so it has all the nostalgia for me. And a great message about Christmas. And then also the soundtrack for that is just wonderful. So those are my three. You'll choose a different three. No one in my house was in agreement on all three. And so we all have our favorites. But there's a familiar theme in many of the classic Christmas movies. And the theme is there are older, more intelligent adults who do not believe. And there are younger, more impressionable children who do believe. You see this theme clearly in Miracle on 34th Street, then also in Elf and others. And this is a theme that Jesus is actually going to address in our text today. And so let's take a look at our text. If you've not opened up your Bibles there, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 25 through 30. And this is where we're going to be for the next 4 weeks. During this season of Advent, as we anticipate and prepare for celebrating the birth of Jesus at Christmas, I'm going to be preaching from this text. Gregory read it for us earlier from the NIV 84. And there's these six verses. I kind of want to show you where I'm headed in this series. With these six verses, you'll notice that there are four sets or four pairs of adjectives. And I'm going to allow those four pairs of adjectives to kind of guide us through this series. And so today, we're going to look at verses 25 through 27. And the pair of adjectives is wise and learned. Then next week, we're going to look at verse 28, and the pair there is weary and burdened. And then the third week, we're going to look at verse 29, and the pair of adjectives there is gentle and humble. And then the fourth week, we're going to look at verse 30, and the pair of adjectives there is easy and light. So it's wise and learned, weary and burdened, gentle and humble, easy and light. So the adjective pair today is taken from verses 25 through 27, and it's wise and learned. So let's read again just these three verses, Matthew 11, 25 through 27. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This text begins with Jesus saying, I praise you. Now, the word here translated as praise, it literally means to acknowledge or to recognize. The only other time this word is used in the Gospel of Matthew is in Matthew chapter 3 in verse 6. And there it's translated as confessing. The people are going out to John the Baptist, and they were confessing their sins, and then they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So the people were not going out to John the Baptist and praising their sins, as that word's translated in Matthew 11. But what that word literally means is that they were recognizing, they were acknowledging their past action as sin. And so here, Jesus is praising God specifically in this sense. He is literally acknowledging and recognizing a very unexpected and peculiar way that God works in our world. It's been called the way of the kingdom of God. And it's a reversal of the world's standards. Some have said that the kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom, and that's correct. It very much is. And one of the great summary statements about the kingdom of God, Jesus says later on in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 3, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom. Now, this is not just some wise saying for us to consider or to ponder as to what it might mean for us. It's the way of the kingdom of God. It's the good pleasure of the Father. The kingdom of God comes into our world through the little children. Listen, Jesus tells us that God does not reveal himself to the wise and learned, but only to the least, to the humble, to those who are like little children. On the night that Jesus is born, it's not coincidence, it's not random happenstance that Jesus was first revealed to the Father. You know, there's no other world religion that addresses the God of the universe in this way. Not for the Greeks, you can study all through history. Not for the Romans, not for the Egyptians. No story has ever been told throughout time about a God of heaven and earth who wants us to call him Daddy. Now, an intelligent adult may be convinced through argument and explanation and the use of reason and intellect that there is a God of the heavens and earth, possibly. But an intelligent adult will never address this God of the heavens and earth as Daddy. That kind of knowledge of God can only be received through revelation. Jesus goes on to explain this in verse 25. He says that God is actually, it seems like to him, hidden in a way these things, this relational knowledge, this intimate personal knowledge of God from the wise and learned, and has instead revealed it to little children. Jesus recognizes as he meets others, especially the religious leaders of the day, that they did not have this same kind of knowledge about God as he does. N.T. Wright, who is an author and theologian, here's how he puts it. He writes, "The understanding of Jesus' day was that those who devoted themselves to learning the law and trying to tease out its finer points would become wise and ultimately know God." So for the average Jew of Jesus' day, this put knowing God about as far out of reach as being a brain surgeon seems for most people today. For you had to be a scholar, trained in languages, trained in literature, with plenty of time to ponder and discuss the more weighty and complicated matters of the law. And so for the average Jew, knowing God was as far out of reach as being a brain surgeon seems for most people today. Have you ever felt like this, like the knowledge of some matter was way far out of your reach? Have you ever been in that position? It's been a lot of fun for us to have Bailey back in our home. She just returned from Harding last weekend and is finishing up her first semester of college online, and so she'll be here with us until she goes back in January, and so we're thrilled to have her home for several weeks. And I've been, as she has shared stories with us about her first semester in college, I've been thinking back upon my first semester this week. I initially went to Covenant College, and that's on Lookout Mountain, Georgia, to play basketball. And at the time, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do and what I was going to major in. And so my older brother was studying engineering at Georgia Tech. And so I was like, well, maybe that runs in the family. And so that first semester at Covenant, I took a statics and dynamics course to see if that was the direction that I wanted to go. Now, at Covenant, the professor who taught statics and dynamics was a wonderful, godly man who had received his undergraduate degree from MIT and his PhD from Yale. And the rumor among the students was that he had retired from NASA and in retirement had moved up to the mountain to teach a couple of classes at Covenant. It was my understanding that he basically invented the space shuttle, I think. I mean, if he didn't, he could have. He was one of the most brilliant men I've ever met, and it's the only class I've ever taken at any level that when he stood at the front of the class and taught, I had no idea what he was talking about. Clueless. I mean, it was like, ring. Have you ever been in that position? He might as well have been speaking another language. Needless to say, I did not become an engineer. And I have a great appreciation for all of you who are brilliant enough to be engineers. But this is how the first century Jew felt when it came to knowing God. It was not possible for them. It was something for the wise and learned. They had the same possibility of knowing God as I had knowing statics and dynamics. It meant having a scholarly knowledge of the law. They would sit and listen to the religious teaching of the day. They might as well have been listening to a different language. And Jesus recognizes that it's as though God had hidden this personal, relational knowledge of himself from the wise and learned. These religious leaders, they studied and studied and studied, but they had not found it. Instead, God was revealing this knowledge to the little children, to the poor, to the sinners, to the tax collectors, to the humbled, to the broken, to the lowly, to the ordinary folk. And so what we discover is that the common theme found in the classic Christmas tale is similar to the way the kingdom. It's the intelligent adults who do not believe. And it's the impressionable children who do believe. Now, God has chosen, this text tells us, to reveal, this word reveal, we see it at the end of verse 25 and then also at the end of verse 27. God has chosen to reveal this personal, intimate knowledge about himself through his Son. This knowledge cannot be discovered through our study. It must be revealed through his Son. In fact, this word that's translated revealed is a great Greek word. It's the word apocalypse. It's probably best known as the title of the final book of the New Testament, Revelation. But once you realize this word is apocalypse, then it adds this idea that what's being unveiled to us by the Son is something dramatic. Perhaps even earth-shattering. It's apocalyptic. Apocalyptic, dramatic reveal through the Son is that we can know the Lord of heaven and earth as Abba, as Daddy. We can know God in this personal, intimate, relational way, and this is a game changer. In verse 26, Jesus emphasizes that this is just not the way of the kingdom, but it is in fact something that brings great pleasure to the Father. To hide this knowledge from the wise and learned, and instead to reveal this knowledge to little children. For it's a special kind of knowledge, not meant for the scholar, but for the child. Verse 27, Jesus says, "No one knows the Son in this way, personally, intimately, relationally, except the Father. And no one knows the Father in this way, personally, intimately, relationally, except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And we get this, right? There's no one else who could possibly know the Lord of heaven and earth in this kind of personal, relational, intimate way, except for the one and only Son, and vice versa. I think I have shared this before, but it helps to illustrate this point. Our third child, our 15-year-old daughter now. Her name is Milbury Ann. And that's a very special name. It's a very significant name to me. It's a very meaningful name. So before I met Karen, they were the two most influential women in my life. So Milbury is the name of my mother, and then Anne is the name of my grandmother Hatfield Kaufman, my dad's mom. And so similar, I think about when Paul was writing Timothy and addresses the grandmother and the mother who's meant so much to Timothy's faith. You know, when that name has that kind of meaning for me. It's a special name. And Milbury Ann appreciates the meaningful aspect of that name. But it's a really difficult name to say. And that's, Karen and I didn't really think through that as clearly. It meant so much to us, but man, it's hard to say. And our sweet daughter, she does her best in public when someone asks her name. She speaks very clearly and very loudly, and people still have no idea what she says. I am Milbury Ann. And they're like, Mabry? You know, they just don't. They're not familiar with that name and that combination. And so it's become sort of funny to us to watch her. She really does well with it. But it's such an important name and meaningful, but it's difficult to say. And if it's difficult for an adult, it's really difficult for a young one. And so when Milbury Ann was born, our children, Bailey and JP, would try to say her name. And what JP finally decided that he was going to call Milbury Ann is Merm. M-E-R-M. Merm. That's what came out. That's what stuck. And that's what our entire family, just our family unit, that's kind of become our name for Milbury Ann is Merm. She's our Merm. That's what we call her. And that's what she's known by in her family. I share that to illustrate this. Now, you're not going to go to MIT to learn that knowledge about my daughter. You're only going to know that if I choose to reveal that to you. And the same is true of this knowledge of the Lord in heaven, of earth, as our daddy. You're not going to get that knowledge at some school. You're only going to know it if it's revealed to you by the Son. And who does the Son choose to reveal this knowledge to? Jesus has already told us who God chooses to reveal this knowledge to. And it's not to the wise and learned. And it's not to the elect. It's to the little children. For it's only the young, impressionable child who will believe. Perhaps you have studied your Bibles for years. Perhaps you've even memorized large portions of it. Perhaps you know book, chapter, verse about many very practical topics. All those things are good. All those things will make you a more wise and learned individual. But do you know the Lord of heaven and earth in a personal, intimate, relational way? because it brings the Lord of heaven and earth good pleasure for you to know him as Father. And the Son chooses to reveal God in this way to the little children because it's only the child who will call the Lord of heaven and earth Daddy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,